the worst thing you can do is take yourself too seriously. And you're like, I have to achieve this. And by 30 something, I need to be married and make like $1 million a year.
Welcome to the Superhero Academy podcast. I'm your host, Archangel. I think I need to start by first addressing the fact that this is Kati Esquivel's first ever podcast. I can't believe that you are joining me here for the first ever time that you're actually on a podcast. Thank you so much for, first of all, for being in Montreal, and second of all, for accepting coming and talking on the show.
Yeah, thank you so much for the invitation. I'm super excited. It's really my first podcast and kind of nervous because I haven't done this before. I always get nervous at the beginning, but then I'm like, go with the flow. So I'm going to enjoy this. I know it already.
It always starts off. It's there's like a little bit of awkward that is always there when you're first getting going. But then I feel like it kind of, you find a stride and you kind of find exactly where you want to
like
be.
Like everything in life.
Like everything. Exactly. Like everything in life. Which brings me to, you know, a little bit of, I want to know a little bit of your story, right? And who you are, what you do. But I'll start by, I guess, showing a little bit of who you've been or what you've done or where you've been online. I you know, so you're Instagram handles What the Chic, which is, well, amazing. The content that you're making is stunning. I'm so blown away by the level of photography.
So
I love the little like reels that you were making of you doing like what is it called?
Shuffling?
Shuffling.
That's the dance. Love dancing.
Shuffling dancing that you were doing. And of course, we had Mark Harrison on a few weeks ago. So he's been taking some beautiful photos, but you've got obviously a phenomenally massive following. You've been making content around the globe for years, and not only that, but you've been doing it in Spanish and been doing it on YouTube.
Exactly.
I also have a huge following there. So I, like, you know, I here's what I'll say. I know that the term influencer is not something I particularly like, but what would you say you do? How is it that, because I would imagine a lot of people think that you have the absolute dream job, right? Mm-hmm. You're coming, a woman from Peru who's traveled the world and basically can go around the world and see, and just take beautiful photos and see and meet amazing people.
Yeah, I always like to try to educate people with this topic about being an influencer and being a content creator.
Yes.
I consider myself more a content creator because I actually create something special. I think about what I'm going to do and I put so many hours in a photo or in a video or an idea just to make it happen. Mm-hmm. I think there are so many influencers right now. Anybody can be an influencer. And there are so many attractive people, like beautiful girls, beautiful guys with amazing physiques. And yes, people want to be like them, and they are like, oh, I drink this and actually it works for me. And that's fine. Like, I admire that. But I'm more on the creative side. Like, I like working with photography or talking a lot about emotional intelligence and these topics. And I think that's the slight difference between being an influencer and a content creator.
It's a huge difference. And I can tell that you really are that creator because of the years of experience and the years of videos that you've been creating and doing this. So how did you start? Like, what made you pick up a camera at one point and just start a YouTube channel and start making this content and being this creator?
It's actually a really cool story. I started 9 years ago. I had to move out of my country because I was going through a really bad situation and I needed to start fresh. And I was really shy. So imagine this Peruvian girl that had a really horrible English in a private school, a fashion school. I got bullied so badly. It was
really
brutal. And I didn't have friends. And I was in a student visa, so I couldn't work. So I had my hours studying, but then I would just sit at home and do nothing.
Okay.
So I met a YouTuber that lived in my building, and she was so fabulous and confident. And she told me, you should do YouTube videos because I can see you dress well. And you are like super nice to talk to, and that way you will practice more your English. And I just took it like as a therapy, first to feel more confident, to make friends, and also to practice my English. I started in English 9 years ago.
I saw that. I went all the way back to your oldest videos to just be like,
okay. Cringe.
Well, look, trust me, I have videos that make me cringe that were like 2 years ago. So no, I get that. But I mean, there's something to be said about the fact you started in English and then actually, it seems like 8 years ago or roughly a few months in, basically switched into Spanish.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because people were really curious about what was my background since they realized my English wasn't perfect.
Yeah.
And yeah, like, it was just so amazing because I was doing that truly because I wanted to have friends online and I wanted to have a voice and share things. I never imagined that this was going to develop into this crazy thing that I'm living right now. And I think that's why I appreciate it so much because I truly feel it changed my life completely.
I mean, at 2.4 million followers on Instagram and 5.5 million followers on YouTube, for sure it changed your life. For like, for sure, yes, the amount of feedback that you've gotten just from the world and from a base of a group of people that I, in terms of Spanish speaking, you know, countries and content all around the globe, there's like a lot of people that kind of don't realize how massive the Spanish-speaking base is around the globe. They don't realize like the actual power and the amount of attention and how much content is created in English. But I really love that you're really owning your native language. I really love that you're putting that content out there and still have a ton of English followers.
Yes,
right. Like there's still I would imagine a large amount of people are following you from the US or from, you know, UK or Australia or wherever else.
Yes, I have a huge following from US, but also it's like the Hispanic US people. Mm-hmm. But something beautiful about Instagram is that you really don't need to speak a certain language. Exactly. People can appreciate my work through photography or through a dance or a beauty tutorial. I really try not to speak much. And if I do, I put the caption in both languages, yeah. And people love it. They're like, oh, I'm learning Spanish and I'm learning English. So yeah. It's nice to join those two things together.
Yeah, I feel like you're merging cultures that in many ways are merged in real life, but we don't see merged in content.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like it's just super rare. And most creators tend to be like, okay, well, we're going to go to the dominant one because that's where the most sponsors are. And that's where the most money is. And there's a bunch of different things. But again, I love that you're true to for years. It's not like, oh, I'm doing this now and Instagram's popping off. Like this is, you started before the term influencer was even a word, realistically. Yes. You know what I mean? Even the term creator wasn't super clear, right? Mm-hmm. Being a YouTuber was not, I don't know, like if you told your mom you wanted to be a YouTuber, like, put it this way. When you told your parents you wanted to do what you do, what did they say?
My parents have always supported me.
Okay.
But my brothers kind of laughed. They were like, oh, I'm Katya. I'm going to put makeup on my face. So they used to make fun of me all the time. And I will get dirty looks in Peru all the time because at that time, bloggers were really a thing. Mm. And I will get invited. And all of them were like with their big cameras taking photos and just being all fabulous. And I will be with everybody will use all phones for filming, for making videos. But I had a vlogging camera and people will look at me thinking, what are you doing? Like, you're the weird girl that is just like talking to a camera. And 2 years after, everybody just made that transition from being a blogger to being a YouTuber. Mm. So yeah, it was kind of weird and uncomfortable. And I still sometimes struggle blogging in airports because you catch attention, you know?
Absolutely.
So yeah, I'm still like working on that to be more shameless like other friends that I have.
But you're saying shameless, like when putting the camera just in front of your face and just talking to no one.
Like I do it, but I still try to be respectful. I'm aware of where I am.
Yeah.
But I have some friends that really don't care.
They
don't care at all.
Yeah. It is an awkward. There's a thing to even just having the confidence to getting on camera and speaking in the first place, and then knowing, okay, what is the story I'm telling? Mm-hmm. As well, right? Because I think a lot of us, we see these videos and we're so used to it. We're so used to people who are good at what they do and you know, they grow and they become the Casey Neistats of the world, mm-hmm. or the Peter McKinnons of the world. And that's great. But they didn't start there. And it was awkward for a long period of time.
Yeah.
And yet some of them have these amazing journeys. They just blow up and they're massive all of a sudden. And others just will make content for 10 years. And then one day they'll have one video that like kind of pops off and then they build that audience and get it going from there. What was that moment for you? Like, what was it? When did you start to realize, okay, this is like more than me just doing this for fun, more than me just doing this? Like, I think it could be something, but it was like, no, this is a thing. Like I'm now fully a creator. I'm now fully doing this for a living.
Yeah, I think my situation was a little bit blurry.
Sure.
That's the only way I can describe it because this market didn't exist. So it's not like I had one video and I said, okay, I'm going to be famous and millionaire and I'm just going to live off this. Mm-hmm. But there was a point where I did a video. Mm-hmm. So silly because I was doing fashion videos.
Sure.
And I was showing people how to dress or how to do their makeup. And they will ask me all the time, can you teach us how to walk with heels? Mm-hmm. But how can I? You just put the heels and then you walk. Like, how can I teach you? That is so silly. And I decided to make a video about it because it was the most requested thing for months. And I decided to put tips on how to make heels more comfortable and how to like scratch thing on the bottom so you don't slide. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it was my first viral video. It hit like a million views. And then I realized that I actually had a kind of an influence on people and people were really liking my videos. Mm-hmm. So that motivated me to keep creating more content. Mm-hmm. But I think maybe 1 year later, I really start making money about it, out of it, and feeling more comfortable and stable. Mm-hmm. But it's not like right now that you get like a peak point and you're like, okay, I'm quitting my job and doing everything, because you actually know you can make a career out of it.
Absolutely.
Before you, I didn't know.
No, absolutely. I that's what I find is so fascinating. I think it's easier today. Like if I think it was maybe last year, the year before, there was a study that was done for 15-year-olds across all of America. And they asked, what is the number one job that you want to have? And the answer was being a YouTuber.
Yeah.
Which if we would have asked that 10 years ago, would have never, like, that wouldn't have been a thing.
Yeah.
Because they wouldn't even know. Now, I think there's a lot of misconceptions about being a YouTuber, being a creator, being an influencer, whatever word you want to use. What would you say is some of the biggest, like, what have you learned about the path in growth that then says, like, what are the things that people think versus the reality?
Yeah. First, everybody thinks it's the easiest job ever, and that is really glamorous. Mm-hmm. People have this idea of me, like, being on vacation 24/7, but it's because they see the final result. That's the only thing they focus. They focus in the place where someone is already famous or popular and working with brands, but they don't see all the work that you have to go through to get there. Mm-hmm. And right now, there's so much competition that it's even harder.
Yes.
So, yeah, first, it's not easy.
Yeah.
Number two, it requires a lot of time. Mm-hmm. For me, one of the hardest things about my job is that I never see my family. Mm. And yes, I love traveling and I'm very committed to my work, but I have missed so many amazing moments. Like, I'm really close to my family. So being in a baptism or my grandma's 80th birthday, you know, there are things that are really, really important for the way I was risen.
Mm.
But yeah, like I can be there because I need to make my job my priority.
Yeah.
And then other thing is that people believe that things are really instantaneous.
Mm-hmm.
Instantaneous, that's the word.
Yep.
They believe that if they get something viral, if they do something really cool, they will be famous and they will be okay.
Yeah.
But actually, it takes time to build this solid base. Yeah. It's not about being the flavor of the month, because you can have like your peak of fame and then everybody forgets about you the day after. So you need to be very consistent with
Wait, are you telling me that when Mark Harrison went viral on TikTok about the flat earth thing, that's not going to pay him millions of dollars on being a TikTok
probably
famous?
Probably not. Sorry, Mark.
He could try. It's so funny. It's funny because you can go viral for the wrong thing. And I say wrong because that's not his brand. His brand is not making jokes about flat earth.
Mm-hmm.
But you can go viral for that wrong brand. And then we talked about it on the podcast. He's like, now I'm pigeonholed. On TikTok, I can almost not talk about anything else or else it won't do as well. You know what I mean? So he's like trying to, you know, let people know the real content that he creates or the actual talent that he has in terms of videography and photography. But
it's very easy to fall in that trap. Once you do something that works, yes, you keep doing it and keeps getting your followers, but do you really want to be known because of that?
Have you ever felt like you've been in that trap?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Imagine.
Like I did the TikTok videos on YouTube, like trying TikTok hacks, and they were doing really good, but I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I'm almost 31 years old and I'm doing these things for kids. Mm-hmm. And my nephews that are 4 or 5 years old will watch my videos.
Mm.
So I thought, okay, I'm doing something wrong. Like this is not the content that I want to do. And I switched it and I have less views, but I don't care because I'm doing something I love. And I know that the people that are watching my videos are learning something and feeling better about themselves.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can imagine over 8 years, you've also had to do or created content that you feel, I don't want to say less than proud of, but that you were doing because you knew that it would also get a response or get like, you're obviously like, look, first of all, I'm just going to quickly show the thumbnails because there's an art, not only to the titling, but also to the thumbnails and all the different things that go on. I mean, this is art from my perspective. This is like really
A lot of planning.
It's a lot of planning. It's a lot of thought. It's a lot of research. It's like, hey, who has the number one video in here and what did they say? And what are the search terms? What are the tags? There's like layers and layers and layers and layers of art in this.
Yes. Also, it goes a lot with trends because a long time ago, it was
really
eye-catching, to put like different outfits in one thumbnail, then just to put something very cartoonish, then put like neon text.
Yep.
So you're really, the internet moves so fast that if you fall asleep, you're gone.
Yep.
Like, you really need to be updated.
I agree. It's a full-time job.
Yeah.
It's not only a full-time job being the creator, but then you also have to be, like you said, a consumer. You have to notice the trend. Like, Oh, wait a second, PewDiePie and all these David Dobriks they're putting these like thumbnails with big expressions on their face. Mm-hmm. And that's going really well. Yes. And they have, you know, and then you have like the Mr. Beasts of the world where like, okay, we're giving away money and everything's about a giveaway and everything's about being more Logan Paul or Jake Paul like, where everything's just insane, right? Like, mm-hmm. whatever's the craziest thing that we can do, that's what we're going to do. Yeah, do you ever feel a little bit stuck in your own, like, do you ever feel like it would be hard, or you mentioned doing more content about mindfulness or more content about women's empowerment. Do you ever feel like part of your content might not resonate? Do you ever have like fears of it not being able to speak as powerfully?
Yeah, so all this has been really a journey. Okay. I've been trying so many different things along these 9 years. Mm-hmm. And of course, there are so many things that didn't work, but if I didn't try them, I wasn't going to know if they were going to work. So right now, I just feel I'm doing something I like and something I want to share. I don't care too much about doing things that are viral. Maybe once in a while, I try to do a trend because you need to grow.
Yes.
But right now, I'm focused more on quality than quantity.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's the only thing that matters to me.
I understand that. I understand that. I think it's part of the maturity of the journey.
Yes, but also is a luxury I can take because I already have a reputation. I have an image that is built. So people know What the Chic. People don't go on YouTube and see my video by accident. They actually go and type What the Chic and come to see my content. Mm-hmm. But I believe if you're starting with this, yes, like it's your time to experiment and try to do as many type of different contents that you want just to see if you like them and if they work well.
Yeah. And if you're always trend hopping, and if you're in the growth phase of trend hopping and doing those things, what you know, and I'm sure you've experienced, is burnout.
Yes.
Right? Like how many YouTubers have spoken about burnout? Do you talk to me about that? I mean, like you said, so many people have this belief that you're on vacation 24/7, but vacationing for the gram, meaning going to this hotel and doing this deal with this thing and then getting the perfect shot in the pool and like all of that stuff takes time. Yeah. And it takes time not only to like get there and physically travel and physically move, you get sick, you get in a fight with someone, or you miss a plane or whatever it is, right? There's 1,001 reasons, 1,000 things that go wrong. Mm-hmm. And then you have to sit down and do the grinding work of like editing the photo, mm-hmm. and taking the time to do that. Yes. So talk to me a little bit about that process, and like talk to me a little bit about the real, just behind the scenes of what it's like to actually go out and do those shoots, and then how that can actually lead to burnout.
Yes, I love planning. Actually, we're planning a trip with Lisa and Mark soon.
Oh, amazing.
And I'm like, ooh, I'm gonna use Google Docs and just put everything there. Like, I really love, like, I die for these things. And nice. It's because I'm very into researching about the place that I'm going, because okay. I have another channel besides the one that you saw.
Yep.
And I show people how to travel to different destinations, but I don't like only showing like, oh, so you have a beautiful beach and you have this restaurant and then you have this hotel. Mm-hmm. I like telling about history and about how you can help local communities and like so many things that you don't get just by looking at a photo. Sure. So the planning takes a long time and I read so much. Like I do my research to try to find the uncommon or the weird things. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, the execution is exhausting because sometimes you wake up like at 5 a.m. or 4 a.m. to catch sunrise. And then you go to bed at 1 a.m. because you're transferring files. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's just really hard doing these hikes, for example. People believe that, oh, she's on top of a mountain looking amazing. But it's like, how do you get there? I had to hike. I had to carry all my equipment, which is super heavy. Mm-hmm. And then I had to change. Like, I have become an expert changing in public places. So I just put my dress because I'm all sweaty. I like do my makeup and then I'm just like perfect for the photo. But inside I'm like dying. So mm-hmm. yeah, that's the part that people don't see. They only see the fun, the beautiful part.
Well, they see the runway. They don't see what happens behind the scenes of the runway at the show.
They don't. And I've been trying to show that in my other, I have another Instagram account that is about presets.
Yeah.
And I try to show a little bit the behind the scenes.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's super fun because it's very raw.
Yes.
And those kind of content really work because it's real, it's relatable.
I think even just doing these podcasts, and I asked you if you were considering doing a podcast for your own brand, is I think this is, you know, I call it hub content, which is, once I get to know you, now I like you. Now I want to know more about what it's really like to be your friend. You know what I mean? Because you've experienced this. You're out somewhere. You're traveling. You have millions of followers. All of a sudden, people feel like they're your friend.
Yes.
Right? They feel like they know you because they've been following you for the last 4 years.
Yeah. Whenever I meet people on the street, sometimes if I'm with a friend, they're like, are they your friends or they are your followers? Because it's just so close. Like they come and hug me, of course, like pre-COVID. Yeah. They will come and hug me and I will actually engage in conversations with them and they will know about my life and I will be curious about knowing about their life. So it's something really beautiful and it's something that you can achieve only with YouTube.
Yeah.
Because Instagram is a little bit more aesthetic and aspirational.
Yes.
With YouTube, they see...
They really,
I try
they
to show
character.
Everything. Yes.
They see your character. They see who you are. They see when you make a mistake. They see when you laugh. Obviously, all of that is curated in the sense that you're the one who at the end of the day edited the video and press publish. So there's some level of what they see that is still kind of groomed in some way, shape, or form, whether it be the makeup or whatever. But there's still a real character where they become your friend in their mind.
I try always to be as genuine as possible. And if I make a mistake speaking, I have a group of editors that work with me.
Yeah.
And they ask me, do you want me to cut this? And I'm like, no, just put, if I fall or if I make a mistake, put it because that's a reality.
That's the reality.
And when I see my audience rotation, those are the moments that have the highest peak. Like people like seeing someone that is real. They don't like seeing perfection. Mm. And that's what when you watch my videos, I have like a mix of cinematics, but also with blogging because blogging, having the camera in your hand is so important because you feel so close to your audience and they feel close to you.
Mm, yeah. Would you say that you're like really studious in understanding how to tell stories? Like, do you like really think about, okay, I'm going to pull out my vlog camera and essentially tell this story. And then I know, like, are you editing while you're shooting or do you feel like you do more of the magic in the editing room?
I just do so much research in the places that I'm going that it just comes naturally. So if I see something, I just start talking about what I learned.
Mm.
And if I meet someone, I try to talk to that person and get like valuable information. And then in the editing, you make everything fit.
Yeah.
So
you trim the fat.
Yeah. It's not like I have like a storyboard of I'm going to do this and that. I just let it flow. And then if I have gaps to fill, I do voiceover or I fill with cinematics just to make everything more fluent.
Oh, I love that. I love how your version of preparation is slightly different than other people's version of preparation, which is some people's version of preparation is, okay, I'm gonna land at the airport, I'm going to put this tripod here, and then I'm going to do three cuts to say this story and then transition, you know, there'll be a quick cinematic thing and then I'll be in Tulum or wherever, you know what I mean? But in your case, I love that it actually just comes from, no, I deeply prepare. I just deeply am ready. I'm deeply ready to,
always
to
ready.
Understand what is going on, what's happening, who am I traveling with, who I might see, hire the guide, ask them a question, do that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and of course, you're going to get new things that you weren't expecting. And those are the best parts because you just show your true colors. It's like, okay, how I'm going to handle this situation with the camera and with this thing happening. So those are the moments that I like the most. When things go wrong, oh my gosh, they're the best. They end up being the best stories.
I fully agree with you. I fully agree. We can plan all day, but it's the magic that's in between those planned moments. And it's the magic of like, hey, we're going to go hike and you don't know whether or not you're going to get that perfect shot, the perfect sunrise, the perfect sunset. Like you do have to capture the moment as it is when it is that you're there.
Yes, exactly.
And that's something to be said about that. I think a lot of people... let good be the enemy of great. And what I mean by that is, I would imagine that there's a ton of men and women around the globe, particularly women who are following you, who feel like they're not enough. Like maybe their photos aren't good enough, or they're not pretty enough, or they don't have the same opportunity you do, or they can't go to the right place. And honestly, I get that because I feel that often myself. With my own content, my own creations. I get that when I like edit something and then I never press publish. And I was literally looking, I was on a call right before this and I was looking for a whole speech that I did, that I edited the whole thing, perfect slides, like really, really beautiful speech, multiple angles, this whole thing. And I thought I had published it and I realized I didn't. I never pressed publish on it because I didn't think it was good enough. What do you tell somebody who doesn't feel like they're good enough?
It's a very sensitive topic for me because I went through a really difficult phase in my life and that's the reason why I left Peru. There is a video about it if you want to watch it.
Sure.
And it's focused on that, in feeling that you're not enough. At some point in my life, I tried to commit suicide because I just felt so worthless. And that was when I was doing YouTube. I was already a YouTube star, but still, People think that you have a perfect life and that you have everything, but you really don't feel like that. And even until today, I feel sometimes sad and demotivated because you see so much content that is unrealistic on social media, and it's so inevitable to compare yourself. Mm-hmm. And I just find myself scrolling on Instagram, seeing all these beautiful women and thinking, I'm never going to be like that. I'm never going to have that. Like, I'm in Canada, like stuck, not with my family, and they are getting married and doing all these things. So it's something that I can help, and everybody will just naturally compare to each other. And that's what I'm trying to do, this content that is about empowerment, telling people like, hey, like I feel very insecure sometimes. And sometimes I wake up and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm so ugly. And then another day I wake up and I feel like Beyonce. And I just like to show this real side of me to people and show myself without makeup, or show that, look, I have like, I don't know, rollito. ¿Cómo se dice? How do you say it in English?
Like flaps.
like a muffin top, you know? Like,
sure.
I have a rollito here. So I'm not perfect. I get pimples. I have like a really bad hair day. So I think that's so powerful to do, because people just idealize influencers or content creators, and I think that's wrong. The fact that they believe that couple goals are real, or that if you are happy on social media, that means that the rest of your life you're going to be happy. That's not true. I'm trying to make my audience conscious about that. For me, it's so important that they don't fall into that trap, because they will start comparing their lives with yours, and they will think their life is worthless.
Yeah. I think a lot of people feel that way. I think it's a growing problem.
Even content creators feel that way.
I agree.
Everybody. Kardashians feel that way.
I fully, and that's why I love that you, I appreciate you, first of all, sharing. Because I don't think that a lot of people realize, and a lot of people would sit where they're at and watch you and have 2.4 million followers, which is a social status in today's world, right? It's like a currency of sorts. And think that you feel that way. Mm-hmm. I don't think that people realize that. I really don't. And even though you say it, like you might say it in a video, but then it's like still filled with a bunch of other things, it doesn't fully land. But I do think that this format, like I do think that when speaking to somebody else who, when you're sharing it in almost more of a podcast format, or just a very, like a vlog with no cuts or very little cuts, that just kind of really says these things, I think it starts to land for people. That two things start to land. One, hey, this person's more like me than I was idealizing, right? And I was like really thinking. Mm-hmm. And two is, well, maybe I am enough. Maybe I can. Like maybe I do have something to share, and all I need to do is share me and share whatever it is that's coming up and whatever it is my highest excitement. And the thing I want to invite people to think about, and I just want to quickly share just, you know, some of your photos, is some of your photos are phenomenal. They're stunning. Right? Like, okay, great. They're really thought out. The composition is super like well planned. The presets are being used. All these different things are being done. But there's many photos that you're just in the middle of a field. You're just somewhere normal. It's not like you're at this perfect location where you had to hike the mountain to get to the thing. You had to have thousands of dollars to get there, or you had got access to some, infinity pool that nobody else has access to unless you have thousands of dollars to rent to the hotel room. Sure, those exist. You have those photos. But there's lots of photos. Most of your photos are places and people, but in places where everyone can go.
Yes.
And that to me says that you're a real creator. You know what I mean? Like that's where the creativity really comes. It's like, it's not, you're not a creator just because you had access to amazing places and great cameras. Mm-hmm. And so many people make it about the camera, make it about the gear, make it about the location, make it about the money. And therefore, I don't have the gear. I don't have the camera. I don't have enough. I'm not enough. Mm-hmm. Whereas I think the other side of it is like, what is the unique angle that you get to speak to? And I think one of the unique angles that you got to speak to was just the language you chose. The fact that you chose to say, you know what? I started in English, but I went to Spanish. And that's where I feel my roots are. And I'm going to acknowledge the English and do the English side of things too, and add those captions, add those different components. But most people, and I would imagine you agree, don't realize that it is more about that niche. It is more about like, what is it that you're absolutely passionate about? And then how can you scale that? Mm-hmm. Whereas I think most are like, oh, how do I get more followers? Do I need to do an engagement group in the DMs, or is it this or is it that? Should I buy followers? Like there's lots of insecurity that is then held through that. And I'll speak to that, which is, I've tried those things. I've learned from those things. Mm-hmm. I've participated in a contest and then been like, oh, that's not that didn't feel good. Or that didn't really work. Like, sure, it does. It gives a metric or it does a particular thing. But is this really what I'm trying to achieve?
I think everybody has gone through that phase.
Yeah.
When you're a content creator, you get to a point that you are obsessed.
Yeah.
I will look at my analytics all the time. And if I will get, I wouldn't get like 50,000 views on YouTube in the first hour, I will cry.
Wow.
Like, it wasn't bad. Mm-hmm. But then when the algorithm changed, mm-hmm. it destroyed everybody. I was so depressed thinking, oh my gosh, my career is over. And it was something really tough to deal with. But at the end of the day, I realized that the people that decided to stay with me were because they truly appreciated my content. Mm-hmm. And I had to focus on that people.
Yeah.
Because that's my family. It's my life, basically. They have been with me for 9 years.
Mm-hmm.
There are some girls that start watching me when they were 12, and now they're almost overage. So I think that's amazing.
Wow.
And for me, that's what keeps motivating me to keep creating content that is good for them. And that's one of the reasons too why I decided to create that other Instagram account.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is with the phone. Everything is just like little videos.
Mm-hmm.
And in like, I have a video in a staircase.
Yeah.
And yeah, some places are really incredible. I'm not gonna lie, but I just try to make it as real as possible. And people like that because they know, okay, if she took that amazing photo in a bush in middle of the street that I actually show that, mm-hmm. I can do that. And actually also, if you scroll up a little bit, I did a collection of presets with my followers.
Yep.
If you scroll down a little bit.
Scroll, which one?
A little bit more. There you go. You see like these ladies.
Yeah.
Yes, I invited some followers from me, from my YouTube and Instagram, and say, hey, like, do you like taking photos? Do you feel confident? Do you want to learn how to pose? And I made like a big Zoom call with them, and I taught them how to pose. And we talk a lot about like the different type of skin colors and beauties. And I just chose a different girl from a different country.
Mm-hmm.
I created this collection with them, and they were part of this. And it was so beautiful. They were so happy that they could participate in this. And I really liked it.
Mm.
So I not only tried to be real with the things I do, I also try to approach the people that follow me and make them be like physically part of my social media.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Beautiful.
Let's go.
I wonder, and this is kind of an inquisition that where I'm at now, because I've come to the world of content creation and publishing content online more from the perspective of like the agency side of things.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm kind of the guy, I was more like an agent, like, hey, there's a brand that needs to do this thing. They need to come up with a concept. Let's make that concept. And then I'll find the perfect influencer, the perfect creator, the perfect person who will then come in and help us do that.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I've come from in terms of my approach. And what I'm noticing more and more is like the bridge between, like, for the longest time, many brands wanted to sponsor content, but they wanted it done their way.
Yes.
And I can imagine like you obviously have dealt with that.
Don't get me started.
Yeah, we won't mention any brands, but look, we've all been there, and I've watched it happen. I've watched an idea that I saw. I was like, yeah, we're going to do it this way, and we're going to bring on this creator. And then all of a sudden, the deal just disintegrates into, no, like, we're just going to do this standard thing, and it's just horrible.
The main problem is that brands do need to trust more content creators, and they need so much education, because most people that are the head of marketing or the people that basically makes a final decision are really old fashioned.
Yep.
So they still believe in billboards and in the newspaper and TV, mm-hmm. which is like 10 times or 20 times more expensive than hiring a content creator. But I forgot what I was going to say. This happens to me all the time. Okay. But the important thing is that first, both parts share the same values.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the first thing that I look when I work with a brand. Because so many times brands have approached to me just because of my following,
yep.
but they really didn't care if their product wasn't aligned with what I did.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes that's really frustrating because they only care about numbers. But let's say like if someone wants to sell, I don't know, there is a car company and they want to sell cars and they want to promote their new car with this kids channel just because it has millions of followers, how many kids aren't going to buy that car, you know?
Yeah. And why is it relevant? Exactly. It needs to be relevant and real.
Yes. And so many brands only care about the exposure, but not about the impact, not about the demographics that these brands have.
Yeah.
And something I'm dealing with right now is that, okay, I'm in Canada and I have a big US audience, mm-hmm. but it's still not big enough, like 50%, so I can be considered a content creator in mm-hmm. US. But they
Which
still,
is crazy.
And they still work with all these small content creators from US. They have 50% audience in US, but it's still smaller than my 10% US.
Yeah.
So it's just crazy. It doesn't make sense yeah. at all.
But it's because they're following the metrics that, okay, we only want to work with creators, because that's what worked before. They got burned with it before because somebody had a big India following and then it didn't work or the campaign didn't work and whatever it is. But it seems to me that you're willing to get creative. You know what I mean? It seems to me that you're willing to work with brands. Who do you think is doing it well? Like, what are campaigns that you would want to create? What are things like, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like there's so many layers of integrating brand and influencer creator, and it's kind of a fine line, right? Like, it's like a dangerous thing. It's like, you don't want to oversell. You don't want to, like, just sell out. You don't want to this. Like, there's all these fears that I know I have.
And right now it's super complex because there are so many content creators and there's so much competition
yeah.
that everybody sells out.
Yeah.
Mostly the new ones. So mm-hmm. when you try to charge, they're like, oh, but this person is doing it for free.
Yeah.
So that's the most frustrating part. But mm-hmm. luckily, I've been really strict with the kind of work that I do. And brands know that if they want to work with me, I have a price and it's not going to be cheap because
totally.
I value my content so much. I think has a really good quality, and also my audience trusts me so much. That's the most important thing.
Yes.
My audience really believes in my advice because I will never promote something that I don't live for.
Yep.
And yes, I right now I have really amazing partnerships and relationships with brands that I have been working for years.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the kind of campaigns that I like the most because there is each site puts their creativity and they respect so much my opinion and I respect theirs. And I think those are the most successful campaigns.
I think you said the magic word, which is trust. This entire thing is built on trust, right? And we get lost in the metrics. We get lost in like, oh, you have this many followers and this many people are paying attention. Nah, 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 nah. And without understanding why they're following, without understanding what it is that they really care about, why do they really like you? Why do they really like your content? What is it that they resonate with, like truly? And then what is it that you resonate with? Right? Like to ask a creator to go and make a campaign that they're not actually excited about is not going to yield a viral campaign. Mm-hmm. It's not going to yield what they want. And yet there's so many times that these entrepreneurs and creatives are kind of clashing, right? And who would you say is doing it best? I know there's creators that I admire and I feel like I look at their stuff and I'm like, I can't believe they do this well. Like, you know what I mean? Like I watch a Sam Colder video. I'm like, I'll never be a great videographer. I feel horrible. You know what I mean? Or I watch like somebody like Chelsea Kawhi, who does amazing, amazing content. I'm like, wow, the level of detail that she has in her brand and the way she shares is admirable.
Yes. And she lives for what she does. She loves it.
She absolutely loves it.
I love her so much because she's so genuine.
Totally.
Yes. But someone that really stands out for me and I'm constantly following on Instagram is Pamela Reif.
Mm.
She's a fitness content creator.
I don't know who that is.
Really?
I really do not know. Yeah. I spend a lot of time.
She's hot. She's so hot.
What, Pamela Reif? Let's see.
She's huge.
Wow. I've never heard of this person.
Really? Well, at least I got to know her because of quarantine. Everybody was doing works out at home.
Yeah.
And she was doing all these videos. But gosh, like this girl is a superwoman. Like she does everything. And she has like a acai bowl brand. And then she has a collection with Puma. She released her book. So I just been like, how does she does all this? Like it's amazing. She's like 23 or something like that.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's pretty impressive. And I think all the campaigns that she's doing are very synchronized with what she does. Mm-hmm. It doesn't seem like, oh, why she's doing that.
Like it's part of her lifestyle. Organic. It's part of her, yeah, it's organic. Yes. Exactly. That's the right way of saying it. Mm-hmm.
I feel like what you guys are talking about a lot is kind of bridging the gap between the character that you're portraying on your social media and who you really are, right? Mm-hmm. You're kind of like, if you're comparing influencers to actors, let's mm-hmm. say, Actors never get to play themselves. Save for a few movies, right? Yeah.
Exactly. Like, exactly
what,
right.
What is that tea? Let's zoom in on it. But I feel like you guys are trying to say, like, what's really resonating with you and maybe the new, call it, climate of content creation is just, like, being like, no, I'm creating something that, and this is me.
Yeah. Well, we're in the era of 1,000 true fans, or I say that as a term. In your case, it might be 100,000 true fans or 50,000 true fans. But we're in an era where true fandom comes from real, authentic trust and real ways where people are not selling out, where people are doing real content that they're really excited about, and that they're doing it from the place of passion and no longer burnout, no longer the trend, no longer the algorithm, because those things are just not working anymore. 100%. What used to work in terms of algorithms, what used to work, like you said, pre-YouTube apocalypse, let's say, is different than what works today.
Yes. I also believe you can take the challenge to work with something new that doesn't match 100% with your... I like those kind of experiences. I'm trying to think an example, but I just can't come up with any. But that only works as long as the brand understands you and trusts you enough to let you put your part.
Yeah.
You know, I hate guidelines. I hate when they just give me a whole script and I have to say all these things. I'm not an actress.
Yeah.
I'm a content creator. Like, I have the right to try something. Whenever a brand wants to work with me and they want to send me something, I'm like, okay, send it first. And then after then I try it, I will let you know if I want to work with you. Because also I want to know how it feels, how it fits, how it tastes.
Yeah.
So that's really important. And I truly believe you can be creative with new things, but as long as the brand doesn't impose the things that you have to say. Because for that, they hire an actor. But if you want a real opinion, allow that content creator just to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah. I find it amazing that you are doing a lot of this. It seems like you're doing a lot of it on your own. Like, I know, so you mentioned having editors that are helping and doing some of the YouTube stuff. My guess is that possibly Pamela, for example, probably has a team.
Yeah.
Right? There's teams of people
yes.
that make these things happen, that are preparing for the shoot, preparing for these different things. And I think the difference between acting and creating is that creating is much more organic. Like, it is much more like, okay, we're going here, and hopefully we're going to get the shot. And hopefully we're going to get something, or hopefully we're going to create something. And it's kind of a risk every time. And it's a risk to be an actor and to make a movie or whatever, but it's not the same risk. It's very calculated, planned, and that, you know, every ounce of light that you're seeing in the screen or on the final shoot is engineered. How do you... like, what would you do if you were to, like, do you want to build a team? Do you want to be more entrepreneurial? Do you want to get to, like, what's kind of next for you? And I'm not asking, like, what next brand you're going to work with, but, like, what's like, a creative edge where you're like, this is what I want to learn? Like, oh, maybe I want to get into the VR world or the AR content. I don't know. Like, what's next for you? Where are you going creatively?
So I have a team. Okay. I have editors, I have community managers, I have a personal assistant, because it's impossible to do all this work by myself. But right now, in this time of quarantine, I've been just focused on evolving and becoming the Kati that I am right now, because I was dealing with so many things, and I just put myself first. I felt that if I didn't take care of my emotions and, I don't know, even my physique, like if I didn't go to the gym and enjoy being stable for the first time, like in 5 years, I was going to burn out. So right now I'm just focused on that. I'm going to start traveling soon. But some things that I just can't say that much. I have big projects for 2021 if everything goes back to normal.
Okay.
But yes, like you said, it's impossible to do everything by yourself. And if you want to grow, you need to start deliberating. Is that the word?
Yeah.
You need to start like teaming up, because I'm the creative side, but you put me to do something about business or negotiating.
Not the thing.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. Not my thing. So I do need a team, and I'm very happy I have built it with all these years.
Yeah. Well, one of the things I've watched you do in more some of your more recent stories is you've been doing some Wim Hof training.
Yes.
Meaning breathing exercises, going out into, well, a frozen cold lake, for example, here in Canada in November, which is brave in every way. you know, I think that, like, it seems like that's part of that edge, right? Like, it's like, okay, there's so much more that you can potentially do in terms of what you know about editing or building a team or a camera or using a camera in some way, shape, or form. And then there's back to the authentic side of things, then there's the work that you get to do, right? Like I went to Peru for the first time and I went and did an ayahuasca journey, for example. Mm-hmm. That's like a lot of creators might not want to talk about that, number one. Number two, that's deep, challenging work that isn't pretty. And sometimes Wim Hof breathing is not the perfect thing to Instagram, right? You know what I mean? But that is that work. I mean, just talk to me a little bit about when you do, you know, because we all feel down. We all feel like we're going through different challenges. I know that I've taken on a more of a body challenge and kind of getting physical. And that's drastically shifted my anxiety. And it's drastically shifted how I feel about in certain moments, just in terms of depression and other things. Talk to me a little bit about that. Talk to me a bit about the Wim Hof training. Talk to me, because I find it fascinating that you're here in Canada. Talk to me about why you're even here. Why is this so healing for you and grounding for you, for somebody who's been traveling the entire world and can be anywhere in the world at any time?
So many questions. Okay. I know. The first one, I will start with why I'm in Canada. I just had the opportunity to have a base for the first time in a long time. Mm-hmm. And I always wanted to see Montreal. So when I came, I automatically fell in love with it. People are so awesome here. I love the European vibes with American lifestyle. So it just feels good to not have to pack and not have to think about unpacking or washing things. Well, I do wash my things.
Yeah.
But you know that moving. Hectic. Yeah. So I really love that. But at the same time, I felt that I was working so much in trying just to grow my business that I just thought, okay, I need to slow down and put myself first. Mm-hmm. So something that I started doing, I think it's been 4 months, is that I take the whole morning for myself. It doesn't matter what I have to do, if I have something pending, the mornings are for me and only me. So I work out, I cook myself a delicious breakfast, I do my breathing exercises. And since then I realized that my life really took a really crazy turn. Mm-hmm. And then I was talking to a friend, he's a content creator, Sasha. Okay. Juilliard, I don't know if you.
I do. Yeah,
he's so talented.
Yeah, no kidding.
He told me about Wim, and he said, you have to do it. And promise me you're going to do it. I'm like, okay. And he sent me a couple documentaries to watch on him. Mm-hmm. And I watched it, and I was just so shocked that you could do so much just by breathing.
Yeah.
He's like, that's going to help you feel better. Like whenever you feel you are having like a panic attack or anxiety, just do that. And one day I downloaded the app, and I started doing it. And at the beginning, I felt like I was going to faint. Like my fingers were tingling and I was thinking, oh my gosh, like if I do this, I'm going to die.
Mm.
But after I just felt amazing. And I tried, I don't know if you watch the Goop, the Goop Lab.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. They make, what's the name of this actress?
Gwyneth Paltrow.
Gwyneth, They made her do push-ups.
Yep.
And then breathe and then push-ups again. And I tried it and it really works. It really does.
I will tell you a small story, but I think it's so relevant. Years ago in winter of 2012, 2013, we actually had Wim Hof before he was big come to Montreal.
Oh my gosh.
Wim Hof has slept in my bed, not with me, just to clarify. I don't know if that would be a bad thing anyway, but the
that one's on a different platform, not YouTube.
Detracting from the story. We literally brought Wim Hof here to Montreal. We brought him to the Ice Hotel and he was standing in ice. And then we all did the Wim Hof training, standing on Mount Royal, standing in the snow, doing the breathing. And I remember there was this one girl from right? That whole vibe. But it was amazing because it lets you know that you can push limits.
Yes.
And that your limitations, your not enoughness, your anxiety, your depression, the things that maybe when you see and you're scrolling on Instagram and you're like, why isn't my life like this? Well, the smallest little detail, the smallest little thing of like taking the mornings for yourself, getting in your body, spending time, like really feeling good or doing breathing exercise or whatever that looks like. Those little things I've noticed matter.
Yes.
And they change everything.
There's just things. What is that noise?
I don't know.
Is that my phone?
It
is
might
that
be
my fun. Siri? She's speaking Spanish.
I don't know.
No.
We've got an extra guest.
I don't know.
No worries.
Maybe I would just give it to you.
It's all good. It's all good.
It to be in the podcast too.
We're almost headed towards the end. Where are we at now?
We're at 49 minutes.
Oh, okay. We still have a little bit of time.
Going back to the Wim Hof thing, it's amazing because it taught me how to control my emotions. Mm-hmm. But it made me realize that it can also control your body.
Yes.
Because when I have anxiety attacks, because I get them sometimes, they really portray in a physical way. Like I feel pain. It's really, really intense.
Yep.
So when I started doing that, I felt like I had more control of my body and emotions. Because emotions are really, they last like 30 seconds. But the physical part stays there and it really brings you down. So when I did that, I saw a huge difference. And then I just started doing like these challenges, like doing push-ups or try to run for a longer time. And then last weekend we saw this lake and I just did the breathing exercises before going into the water. And it really didn't feel that cold. I stayed longer than Mark at the beginning.
I saw that.
Yeah. So yeah, I just couldn't believe that I was so calm. I wasn't freaking out. I was truly in control of everything around myself. And I love that.
Wow. Yeah. I love Wim too. Yeah. he was a life changer for us. I think it was a paradigm shift. It's a paradigm shift because what you realize is that sometimes the pains that we have are our stories.
Yes.
Right? Like the story I hear of Canada all the time is, it must be cold there. I'm like, okay, thank you. I hadn't noticed number one. And it, you know, I'll say that it was like 22 degrees or whatever today or yesterday here in November. So it's warmer than people think in many ways, particularly for most of the year. And yes, it's also cold. But whatever it is about that story that we have inside of us that says, I can't, or I won't, or I'm, again, not enough, or not, we can't, like, there's some level of paradigm shift that breaks when we can change the story, when we can flip the script. And I think that's kind of all, like, of all the things that I would ever want to influence online, right? And if my content or my stories or anything I would ever create has any impact, if anybody's listening to this has any impact, it's to let them know that they can do it too. Right? It's like to let them know that you can live your highest excitement, your passion, if you're just brave enough to start. If you're brave enough to do it and do it over and over and over again and to push through all the resistances and to recognize that sometimes there is some suck in behind it too. There's beautiful sides to every job and there's also downsides to every job.
Yeah, for everything. And it sounds really cliche, but you can do it. Like if you own your own mind, you can control everything around yourself. And that's the most beautiful thing I've discovered in 2020, which was a really bad year. I just took the best out of it. And it turned out to be one of the best experiences I have just being here in Montreal.
I think it's out of, I look, I, 2020 has been a difficult year for me emotionally too. And I think it at the same time is the biggest growth, the biggest catalyst to growth is when you have that. And your career started that way.
Yeah.
Right? Like you literally said, I had to leave Peru. I had to leave my environment. And then all of a sudden, you know, you have a neighbor who's like, why don't you do YouTube? And that sets in motion this entire journey that you could have never imagined. And I'm sure at the time when you had to leave Peru, when you were in that situation, that you it's like the world was ending or some side of what you believed your life could be or should be, keyword should, is maybe not in our highest good. And maybe we get to trust like a greater wisdom, and it doesn't have to. You don't have to call it God. You don't have to subscribe to any specific religion, but that you can trust that sometimes life is happening for you and through you, and not just to you. I think a lot of people get caught in that. In that, like, well, you know, they get caught in their story. They just got caught in their reality and get stuck there.
The main problem that I found on myself, and also I see in a lot of people, is that the worst thing you can do is take yourself too seriously. And you're like, I have to achieve this. And by 30-something, I need to be married and make like $1 million a year. And when you do that, it's just like you are just pushing away all the things that you want for yourself. And the only thing that you should focus on is on you, on being better or improving certain skills. And those things will come along. Like it's okay to have goals, but when you obsess, you get upset about everything, and if something doesn't go the way you want it, it's all lost. I think that's the worst thing you can do to your personal growth. And when I stopped taking myself so seriously, I started feeling happy, like truly happy.
So what's one thing that maybe people don't know as much about you that you do to take yourself a little less seriously? Like what's the one thing you do purely for fun? No work. There's no, you don't have to share it on Instagram necessarily. Is there anything that stands out to you?
Well, I love dancing so much, and I share it because I think it's awesome.
You're like great at it.
And thank you. But also I love baking. I will love one day to become a pastry chef.
Oh, wow.
Yes. For me, it's not about like, oh, I'm making cupcakes. It's just like, it's like chemistry, you know, like making things so accurate that they turn out to be a masterpiece. Uh-huh. And I just do that in my free time. And sometimes I don't show it. Mm-hmm. It's just like therapy for me. It mm-hmm. just makes me forget about everything and just focus in the moment. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, I like eating them. And that goes very...
Lots of amazing pastries here in Montreal. I don't know if you've discovered.
I have.
You've definitely found the almond croissants and all of those, the chocolatins and whatever it is. Okay, good. Just making sure.
Oh my gosh.
You can't come to this city and not experience some of the French culture specifically.
No, it was incredible.
Yeah.
But yeah, that maybe goes related to me wanted to lose weight and look a certain way just because I will hear all the time, oh, you're going to get fat if you eat so much, or you're not going to look good in a bikini. And I will hear that from someone that was close to me. Mm. So that really put so much pressure on me that, yes, I might have looked good, but I didn't feel good. And that will show on camera.
Yes.
You know, and now that I'm just like 100% free and I just eat like, sometimes I eat 2 desserts a day and I don't care. Like I work out and I'm happy, but it truly reflects on me. And people are, Gary, you're glowing. You're looking so good. And it's because I feel good and I don't care anymore. Like, right. I don't care if I don't have the abs. Like, I know I won't have abs because I like wine and desserts. But at least I live a happy life.
Absolutely. With that said, is there anything else you'd want to share? Anybody who's listening to this, anything you want to mention? Obviously, anybody who's listening to this knows where to find the links. But anything else that you want to share before we sign off?
Well... follow me. I think if you speak Spanish or English, you could enjoy my content and just stay strong during this time. It's kind of weird for everybody, but just like we said, if you just focus in yourself and try just to nurture your soul and just be happy, I swear your life is going to give like an amazing turn in a positive way.
Upward spirals of awesome.
Yes, they're the best.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for being a guest. Thank you so much for doing by the end of it, it gets natural.
I know.
It starts a little bit nervous, a little bit awkward, and then you just flow right into it.
I'm going to open mine next.
Yeah, do it. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know where to hit the buttons, all the things. See you in the next episode, ladies and gentlemen.